That the Spirit.
Hello, Peter Lynham.
Hello there. How are you going, Johnny?
I'm good. You just said you just hopped off your bicycle. Are you going for like an afternoon ride?
No, I had to lock a church and I was heading home, but there we are. That's good. You caught me on my way home.
Nice one. Hey, now, Peter, what are we talking about this afternoon?
Well, I made a commitment 2 weeks ago to talk to you about Eritrea.
Yes.
And I've been working away at this issue since then, and my goodness, this has been described, Eritrea, as the North Korea of Africa.
Yes.
By some.
Yes.
And this is a pretty dramatic portrait, and it's really worthy of attention.
Mm-hmm.
It's a strange place, I'd have to say.
Tell us more. I had a quick scan of the Wikipedia page that you sent through, and I was also very surprised to see that there was basically zero press freedom or no international press presence there at all. A bunch of journalists sitting in jail and no general elections.
Yes, that's right. So that since the takeover in 1992 effectively the creation of modern Eritrea, because there was a civil war. And you go back in history a little bit to explain that after World War II, Eritrea had been the central part of the Italian colony, which went back well into the 19th century with early contact. And then after the war, it was occupied in a joint kind of arrangement between, as a trustee territory, and then handed over to Ethiopia to be the trustee territory of Ethiopia. This proved to be a mistake because Ethiopia was keen to expand into Eritrea and make it permanently part of Ethiopia. So Eritrea lies along the coastline that Ethiopia otherwise doesn't have into the Great Gulf territories.
Mm.
And so there was a civil war there from 1972 to 1992, which finally led to Eritrea gaining its freedom in 1992. But since then, it's been under a one-party state arrangement. The government is sometimes described as Marxist, but I guess actually that probably means little more than authoritarian, the way it goes about things. And part of the consequence of that has been not just the loss of press freedom and the loss of a lot of civil rights, but an enormous amount of religious persecution as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's linked to the general context, I guess.
Yes, there's kind of an even split between Sunni Muslims and Christians.
Yes, there seems to be. Depends, mind you, on who's counting.
Yeah.
Because you look in one source and they will say 62% Christian and 40% Muslim, and others will say 50-50 or slightly to the advantage of Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, clearly, accurate census counts is not the priority of the Eritrean government.
Yes.
There's also, I did discover that Eritrea does have an English language web page which covers various aspects of the life in Eritrea, and you'll be delighted to hear that according to the Ethiopian Ministry of Information, the situation between the religions is that the religions are split 50-50 and they get on incredibly well with each other,
mm-hmm.
and often churches and mosques are alongside each other. I'd have to say the source is a bit suspect in that, for that particular report. Actually, religious freedoms are severely curtailed. Particularly, the Orthodox Church, which is the predominant church in Eritrea, so it's a branch of the Ethiopian Church, which is itself part of that Coptic tradition of churches from Egypt. So they're not part of the ordinary Orthodox world. They have some slightly distinctive doctrines. And so they are in isolation. And they're regarded by the government as a state church. So in 2005, the Patriarch of Ethiopia, who had ascended only a year beforehand, was arrested by the Ethiopian government for the way he was behaving as though he were a patriarch, and he was held in prison for the rest of his life. He died this year in 2022 at the age of 92.
Yes.
So he'd been in prison for 18 years.
Yeah, wow.
Only seen out and at church once in that entire time.
Mm-hmm.
So the church and the mosque are allowed to have worship, but the moment they move into a realm that threatens the government, they're absolutely curtailed. And then the second thing is that other religious groups in Ethiopia are under much tighter control. There is a small Catholic presence because of the Italian presence for so many years. I think it's about 3 or 5% of the population is Catholic. There are other Swedish Lutherans and various other small Protestant groups, but they are extremely curtailed and not allowed to have any links with the wider world.
Mm.
And Jehovah's Witnesses are tough. It's tough being Jehovah's Witness anywhere in the world, but boy, is it tough in Eritrea. Basically, they're all arrested and in prison.
Yes.
So this is an interesting example of where in Africa, partly because religion is such a centre of tension, I suspect that's the reason why the government is so determined to not allow there to be any freedom of religious expression in Ethiopia,
mm-hmm.
in Eritrea, sorry.
Peter, do you know much about travelling there as a tourist? Is that possible, or are the government controls so tight in the area that they don't let foreign people?
Technically, it is possible, and I've seen a few reports of people going there, but it doesn't sound terribly practical because there's very little foreign language speaking.
Yes.
There's the, you know, 8 different main tribes in Eritrea that speak different languages. So you'd immediately have problems of communication.
Yes.
And the actual travel around in the country seems to be quite restricted. So I think it might be possible to get in that sense. It may be a little bit easier than North Korea, but you'd be regarded with such great suspicion that it wouldn't be recommended.
Yes. Yes, yeah, yeah. It doesn't seem like... I mean, some of the photographs look incredible, but obviously not the, like you say, most practical place to visit.
Yes, and yet, see, Ethiopia, which borders right against Eritrea, and shares a lot of aspects in common. It has all those incredible churches dug into the caves and the like, and similarly, I think you'll find in the ancient traditions of Eritrea, because it's on the coast, actually some of the earliest religious contact is in Eritrea rather than in Ethiopia.
Mm.
And I even read a very interesting account that said that probably there was a strong Jewish presence in Eritrea stretching back thousands of years, and that it's maybe through that Jewish presence that there came about the original Christianity in Eritrea.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously there were ancient tribal religions, and an interesting aspect is that Sudan, Ethiopia, Eritrea, all of them have significant Christian either majorities or minorities, quite and very, very ancient. And the reason seems to have been that the attack that Muslims launched against Christianity was much more successful in the areas of the old Roman Empire. And these were never part of the Roman Empire. And probably because their religion was a bit different, because they weren't owning to international links, therefore they probably survived better than the Christians in the Middle East and in Turkey, etc.
Interesting, Peter. Hey, thank you very much for this week's edition of That's the Spirit, Peter. It's just so... It is very interesting to look at an area that I obviously just got no idea about.
Yes, that's right. And I had no idea about it until I began reading, and then I got fascinated in the subject.
Yes.
And I'll keep digging. I'll keep digging and let you know if I find anything more interesting.
All right. Hey, thank you very much, Matt.
A pleasure.
We'll see you next week. Bye.